You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Podcast Juice is working it like a job and we need your help. Check out our crowdsourcing campaign over on Indiegogo. Details are on PodcastJuice.net. Remember, work it like a job and let's take this thing to the next level.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Juice. I am your filling host for the day, Ed Poole, or a.k.a. Anthony L. Kennedy First. I don't know why my daddy gave me that name, but dude has a big gun and knows how to use it, so I'm not going to question it.
There it is.
And we're on a special Tuesday night. We have no shortage of topics to get into, but first, let me introduce my co-host. We have on the line the always big, sexy Zach. Mark, how you doing?
Man, I'm exhausted. Had two different appearances today, but both went well. And I learned that when I flirt with the court clerks, I get what I want. That is good to know.
Are they going to cut the check, though? Because I saw Better Call Saul, and, you know, the PD, he's doing public defending. He's like, where's my money at? Where's my money at?
Oh, no, no. See, I can't roll with the riffraff like that, no. No, I'm private practice.
All right. And we're also joined by Hill Street Views himself, Sean Hill. How's it going today, Pac?
I'm doing well. I am 24 hours away from 50 Shades of Grey. So one of the most highly anticipated films of the year. This screening is going to be I can't even wait to talk about it once I'm out of it, but
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'm doing well and let's get it popping.
Yes, in case you didn't know, Sean's wife has his penis for the next couple.
Ooh!
Wow. I'm like, what? Yeah, that was just so much wrong with that. You know, the men are just like, come on, you're supposed to hold us down. You reluctantly want to see that movie.
Well, remember, film critic, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I'm just really interested to see what all the fuss is about, because it is one of the most highly anticipated movies. I've been posting stuff on my blog. I got film clips, I got interviews, and I got stuff like that. It has been getting mad hits, so I got to see what all the fuss is about.
Why don't you just say, you know what, the wife's into it, and anything that's going to please the wife, you all for.
Well, she's into it. She's read the books. She's got the audio books. I mean, that she got into it, so.
Wait. She has the tape and the hardbound?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goddamn. Okay.
Well, that's just what she does. Let me tell you, when Twilight was big, she would literally, like, drive around, when she would drive to work and listen to those books over and over and over and over again. I mean, no lie. I don't see how she did it. She watched the movies repeatedly. She'd have her earbuds at work and watching them or listening to the movie on repeat. So once she locks into something, she's all in.
And joining us in a few minutes, hopefully, knock on wood, our fearless leader Michael Dean should be joining us on the call. So we'll look forward to him joining us. But first, we're going to get into TV roundups. This week we had a number of season premieres and one series premiere. Fellas, Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, and Gotham all had new episodes. Let's take a look at The Walking Dead, which had a much emotional and a much controversial ending.
Are we spoiling?
Yeah, we're spoiling. It's been two days. We go ahead and put that out there. Now, For those listening, the mid-series finale of The Walking Dead went out with Beth, the little cutie that I like to call her, getting murked at the end by the police officer. Her name is escaping me. So we left on her. Everybody's somber. Everybody's sad. It was so emotional. The Talking Dead, the girl, the actress that played Beth, broke down crying. Which, you know, I'm getting kind of sick of that whole thing. You die and you do the obligatory post-Talking Dead show and everybody cries like, oh, it's so emotional. I'm going to miss you. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. First episode back and our boy Tyrese is gone.
Yes, gosh. He is. Yes, he is.
Now,
Didn't see that coming at all here.
And there's a reason. It made no sense. Now, the reason why, now we understand that the Walking Dead and the very nature of the show, the very nature of the comic franchise is that any moment somebody could die except for Rick and his son Carl, which they better not ever do anything to them or I'm going to riot. But, like as I just mentioned, we just had the mid-season finale where a character died. Here's the first episode back. They even reference in the show that they are doing one of Beth's last wishes, which was to get Everybody Hates Chris, Tyler James Thomas. Tyler James Williams. I can't remember his character's name. Get him back to his family just so he can do that, so they can honor the memory of their fallen comrade. And in the same episode where they're supposed to be getting over and grieving this character, they kill Tyrese. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, they did. Damn.
Sean, you're a critic. How does that make any sense for a show to have that emotional impact and then the very next episode kill another character?
Hey, it's all about the writing. I mean, you know, they gotta get, especially with TV, you gotta have a reason to get people back every week. So you gotta shake it up. You know, I know you got beloved characters and whatnot, but you know, at the end of the day, as we always say, it's a business. And you know, it's a zombie show. Obviously, you know, it would be unrealistic to not kill off people. So, you know, you go into the show and you know, hey, your favorite character may not make it the next week. It would be stupid if all of, you know, everybody who's been on the show from the start are still on the show now, you know, no one ever dies. You know what I mean? You gotta have death, right? It's a show about death.
That is true. Now, for those that might not have read the comic books, I'm sorry, spoilers. Hopefully you haven't got too far into trying to see how does the comic book differ from the show. Tyrese doesn't make it past issue number 50. Now, nope. My thing is, now what they're saying is that the actor that plays, I believe his name is Chris Chapman, the actor that plays Tyrese, that he signed on to do another show. I mean, it's going to actually be a sci-fi show, so I figure, you know, there's going to be a short season run of 13 episodes. Walking Dead is only 13 episodes. There shouldn't be a conflict. Well, apparently there was a conflict, or they just felt like, as Walking Dead want to do, when they get a new black a male character on the show, they gotta kill the one that's already there. They did that with T-Dog.
T-Dog, come on now. He needed to go. He needed to be there in the first damn place.
They did that with the black inmate. His name escapes me. And now they did that with, Bob.
Hey,
and now they're doing it with Tyrese.
Let me mention this real quick. I know it's off topic. I think it was season for last, Matthew Perry had a sitcom, and I can't remember the name of it now. But there were two black characters on the show. One was played by Everybody Hates Chris, and the other one was Bill Cobb, older black guy. The funniest thing would happen. Those two characters were never on the show at the same time.
The two black.
No lie. I am shitting you not. They were never. And the show is about. Matthew Perry was fake. He was in this support group. It wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous, but it was something like that, right? So you would think that, you know, they would always be in this group.
Then
no.
The show was gone. That's right.
But I kid you not. They, every week, either Everybody Hates Chris was on there or Bill Cobb was on there. They were never on there at the same time. Hilarious.
I just don't understand it, because the comic book, they show Tyrese as a very strong, nearly co-leader of the group with Rick. And in the show, they bring in these black characters. They brought in T-Dog, which a lot of people thought, oh, that's just Hollywood taking liberties with the source material. T-Dog is really Tyrese. Ended up not being T-Dog, Tyrese. Another thing is, and everybody had to complain, was, it's like, you try to tell me in the zombie apocalypse that this fool is still going to go by T-Dog? It's like, everybody's dying around you, but, you know, you can't give people your real name. Like, come on. So in the comic book, first of all, we were denied the fact of Tyrese and the Michonne love as a couple, which happens in the comic book. The other thing we denied was is that in the comic book, and I'm sorry, this is where it differed from, Tyrese was killed by the governor. The scene where Herschel gets his head chopped off, that was Tyrese. Which brings to me, I mean, again, we don't know when Tyrese got cast for this new show, but if you were going to do that scene and you were going to end up killing Tyrese later, why not just make it Tyrese?
I can tell you why. Spider-Man, first Spider-Man movie. Who got thrown off the bridge in the comic book? That'll be Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, that's true.
Who got thrown off the bridge in the movie? Mary Jane. Who lived? Mary Jane. Who died? Gwen Stacy. So, people always take the source material and, you know, make their own little tweaks that, you know, people who know the story will not like.
Side note, are people still mad about that scene?
Oh, I am.
Oh.
I fucking am.
Well, that was The Walking Dead. And immediately following The Walking Dead was the debut episode of this Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul. Big Sexy, I know you have a lot to say about this show. We got into it a little bit before we fired the record button. What was your impressions of this spinoff?
You know, at first, the first like 5 minutes, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I didn't understand it at all. And then they introduced the guy and he had a different name. I'm like, what is the deal here? And then we go to court. And I'm like, watch him do his thing in the bathroom with his, you know, Showtime folks. And then he gets baited. Are we doing spoilers again?
No, yeah, go for it. It's been 2 days. Okay.
And then he gets baited in a fake hit and run by a couple of hipster skateboard twins. And that was so funny. And he flipped it on them. And he's like, well, you guys aren't even good at this. And he had another client. And I thought the woman whose husband was accused of the embezzlement, I thought he was going to have his way with her. But he almost got it signed, and she's like, we need to think about this. And this guy is just shady. He is a shady, shady lawyer. He's impersonating other people. You got Michael McKean as some kind of recluse lawyer here. You can tell it's from the same production and creative people by the way it's paced. But I did watch that one, and I watched the other episode last night, and I enjoyed it.
I agree. It was kind of slow enough that it took me, I want to say, 4 hours to watch it.
Damn.
Wow. I fell asleep, but that was because I had a long day on Sunday. A long day yesterday, because I ended up, let's just say I ended up watching it via alternative methods. But I see the same dialogue and scripting quality that was in Breaking Bad with Better Call Saul. At the beginning, I'm thinking like, okay, why? I'm thinking when I'm seeing it in the black and white, and he's working at Cinnabon. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I figured it out. Oh, what was that? Okay, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I get it. This is post Breaking Bad, and this is his pathetic life afterwards. And it was so good, which I really liked about the show, was he actually had the tape of all of his commercial spots, and he just sat back at the end of the day and just was watching them over and over, like, yeah, this is what I used to be. Yeah, this is what I used to be. And it's like, yeah, that is what you used to be, but there's a reason why your ass is working at Cinnabon right now, because you did some crooked stuff. Side note. It's like, was I the only one that got hungry watching that scene of them making them Cinnabons? And I'm looking like, that's how they do that? they had this, like, dark, they had this whole table full of, like, it looked dark because it was black and white. So I'm looking like, what the hell are they making? And then I was like, oh, that's a Cinnabon. All right, okay. But anyway, I like it. I like the fact that we're finding out a lot of the backstories. They're bringing in all these different cases, which I'm a huge fan of legal dramas. So I hope that they keep that up, along with his turn to the dark side, down into the underbelly of the drug game, and which, spoilers if you haven't, Tuco is in.
Yep.
And
yes,
that,
he is.
That, I mean, I know Big Sexy feels some type of way about that. So go ahead and tell us why you do not appreciate Tuco being introduced in the show this early.
Well, as you and I both know, and this is my opinion, but you and I are both wrestling fans. This is clearly a hot shot of an angle. That's all it is. You know, you don't do something like that that soon with a character from, you know, the previous show and introduce him in the second episode. You know, and there was more of a continuation with the hipster skateboard scammers. And, you know, I thought it was kind of a letdown. I don't think he needed to be in there. In fact, I didn't know he was coming, and I didn't like it. I did like how they changed it, though, because Saul had set up the one woman to get scammed and ended up being, you know, Mamita, or whatever her name was, who ran the guys over and took off. But you could tell that was just going to fall apart.
Now, the one thing that I do not like about prequel is how they try to pigeonhole everything, and it's like, okay, we're going to, which we'll get to another show like that, Gotham in a few. It's how they have to show you, like, ha-ha, it's here. We're going to push it forward today. We're going to make sure everything is aligned with how the show begins with Breaking Bad. And hopefully they don't go too far with bringing in these characters so we can see them before they were on Breaking Bad. And they just find, as you said earlier, give us some new characters. Give us some new story arc. Give us some new conflict that we can all enjoy. Because Vince Gilligan is a brilliant writer. So he has that in him to not just rehash or just, as you would say, hot shot. Hey, remember this character from Breaking Bad? Well, this is what he was before Breaking Bad. So far, I like it. The acting is good. They got some good actors on there. And I'm going to keep watching. I think we might have Michael Dean joining us now. Is that the case?
Yeah. Who is this now?
Is he in the bathroom? Dude, pitch off. You know, handle business.
Sound like Prince on that ecstasy that one night.
Yeah, this is Jamie Rallo. Now, what's up? What's up, fellas?
How's it going? How's it going? We're treating you good, sir?
Oh, it sounds like you guys are doing a damn thing. I'm going to sit down and watch and listen.
I ain't no rookie at this, youngin.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. I was trying to give compliments.
I'm trying to dap him up.
Shots fired already.
Is Q-Storm in here?
Nah, that old man with the bed. He talking about why you called me this late.
Okay. I'm online. That's what I was thinking. So, what have you guys covered so far?
Well, right now we just got started, and we're doing the TV roundup. We got into The Walking Dead. Do you want to give your? And now we're talking Better Call Saul. Do you want to give any impressions on the Walking Dead episode and Better Call Saul?
I didn't watch Better Call yet. The Walking Dead. I thought that was a horrible episode. I didn't like the whole. Yeah, I didn't like the way the story was told with the flashbacks and showing the pieces. And I didn't like the fact that my man, I didn't even watch the end of it, so you can tell me what happened. I didn't like how they did Herschel, man.
Tyrese.
Excuse me. I was like, really? He's got to get bit. So I assume he died at the end? They cut his arm off. I just didn't like the way it was sort of foretelling things in the episode. I just thought it was too artsy, man. I just wanted to see blood, guts, and action, man.
Well, you did.
The backstory is that the actor, Cuddy, as I like to call him from The Wire, he'll always be Cuddy to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuddy from the cut.
Cuddy, he signed on for a new show on Sci-Fi, and as I stated earlier, it was it's going to be a short-run 13-episode season, and I thought Walking Dead is 13 episodes that the scheduling shouldn't conflict much, but I guess it did, and they said, peace, nigga.
Pretty much. I think we actually even talked about this a few months ago when they first announced that Sci-Fi thing. We kind of speculated if he was going to last or not. Who directed that episode? Does anybody know? It just seemed an oddball the way it was presented. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and even more so, it's like after you just killed Beth, why do you turn right around and say, let's kill another one?
Man, I got to take that quota, man. There was two quotas they had. They had the kill quota and they had the too many nigga quota.
You know, real quick, sometimes with the casting and leaving a show to go to something else, I remember when Taraj P. Henson left Person of Interest. I'm like, why is she leaving? This is a hit show. Why is she leaving this show? I didn't understand. I mean, the character, I guess her story arc had gone as far as it could go. But, of course, I now understand now why she left the show. I mean, you know, she was a bit player on that show, and now she's got a headlining role on another show. So sometimes that – that plays into it as far as what, you know, makes somebody leaves one popular show. They may be on the popular show, but they may have a diminished role, you know, and they get an opportunity to shine in another role. So that may have, you know, played a part in that.
Speaking of that, I just had a thought because you said Taraji. I would love to see a guest spot on The Walking Dead by Mr. Slickback himself, Terrence Howard. Can you imagine? It's a zombie, man. That would be hysterical.
Hey, like,
I don't know why that popped in my mind.
Did I say, man, why you want to bite me?
That would be stupid. It would be just funny. But anyway, y'all go ahead.
Yeah, so we have to say goodbye to Tyrese, but I'm just going to hate on it just a little bit. If you're going to kill my man Tyrese, he should have got his head chopped off by the governor, not Herschel. Now, looking back on it, come on, man. Come on, man.
It didn't seem like he got to be the Tyrese from the books either, really.
No,
I mean, he had his moments, but yeah, he just wasn't. I thought he was going to be real prominent, but, man.
Well, the problem is that they kept Shane on for far longer than he existed in the book. You know, mm-hmm. Shane was gone by issue 6, I believe. And, you know, in the show, he was there for a season and a half. And pretty much, and people were saying that, you know, they created this character, Daryl, who was Rick's right-hand man, which was Tyrese's role. So you had Shane, you had Daryl. So by the time they did get around to Tyrese, they're like, well, we don't want to tell that different type of character. Plus, it's television, and I don't want to go to race car. But they're not that keen on showing a brother in a very positive life, being toe-to-toe with the boss.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about Marvel yet? I know that's probably...
No, we were waiting for you to come in. We, you know, come on. Hey, I got some structure here, sir.
No. I'm a student. You do it. I'm a passenger. My bad.
So next, you went to Gotham. Gotham was a new episode last night. Did you fellas get a chance to see it? And what are your thoughts as the internet is losing its collective load/shit over the Joker coming next episode?
Hell no! I didn't watch that bullshit.
I haven't watched it yet, but I am probably going to lose my credibility here. But I'm a fan of the show. I like the show. Although I do think they should change the name to Penguin, and just since he seems to be the central character more than Bruce Wayne or Gordon, I don't know. I like fish. I like the whole.
I like fish. I like fish.
And I like too that I don't have to know a lot of the history and background and the ins and outs and what happened in this issue and that issue. I can just sit and I can just watch the show and enjoy it. And with what little knowledge I have of the Batman world, I can pick up on them. And so, yeah, I like the show. I'm like I said, last night's episode's on the DVR still. I will probably catch it probably sometime this week, but I'm digging it. I'm going to stick with it.
Last night's episode is just really indicative of the show overall, the season. Very uneven. They're introducing Fish Mooney in peril, where she's in a cage, in some type of jail cell. We don't know who's keeping her there. She slowly gets power, but at the same time, we're learning these nefarious things that are going on, and I'm like, do we really want to watch this? Especially since the show creators are putting the emphasis on, hey, look at these characters before Batman got there. And then you have this character who, for many people, really took a liking to as a new original character. But at the same time, we know, hey, she's not going to make it to the end.
She got to go.
Yeah. You know? So it's like, why do you keep making us care for this character when you've already told us you should only care about these characters that are actually real stars? You know, like Maroni, like Falcone, which means we shouldn't care about Maroni. Like Ivy and Scarecrow, which means we shouldn't care about Fish. The thing that I like is, first of all, I love the fact that Marina Baccarin is on there, because, you know, anything that makes the show just gets instantly finer, I'm all for. And I love the fact that she's with Gordon, which is great, because Barbara was just such a needy ass, whiny. I'm not going to say that word, but y'all know what I mean.
Don't say it.
And then even when we did get back to Bruce Wayne and Alfred, again, it's like, to me, there's a bad part of that in the sense that we shouldn't be seeing Bruce before he's Batman. However, we get that great interaction between him and Alfred. So it's like, they're just really uneven. really angry. Yeah.
Alfred is a more interesting character than Bruce Wayne. I mean, and he's supposed to be the, you know, the man. Well, I mean, not at this point, but still.
And that's the problem, is that we all know that you can't do certain things. You can't go hard with Penguin, Joker, Riddler, Scarecrow, and Bruce Wayne himself, because this is supposed to be like 10 years before Batman. Yet when you do create these great relationships with these great characters like Leslie Tompkins, like Jim Gordon, Bullock, and Alfred, they don't push them as the center, as the focal point of the show like they should be. Like, yeah. Fishmoney, Mooney, Maroney, and Falcone.
Go ahead.
Any other thoughts, fellas?
I've lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, unfortunately, I don't even watch the show, but I have nothing against the show. Let me be clear. I'll probably wait till it goes on to Netflix, and then I'll, you know, binge watch it at some point. But I don't know. It doesn't have enough right now to grab me, but I am interested to hear what this Joker situation. I see the headlines online, so I want to check that out, but I'm gonna probably wait till it's all done.
I'll finally watch the Joker episode, but you're talking about young Bruce Wayne. LC, and I'm gonna be that guy. They lost me in the first episode when he was wailing like
yes.
Really? Come on, man. He was shrieking. I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, like I said, the thing is, he's still not an interesting character at all. I mean, everyone that he, even Selina, even I guess Catgirl, I'll call her, is more interesting, and she has more to do, really, than he does. I mean, he just basically, I don't want to say whines, but I mean, he's reactatory. I don't think that's a word, but I'm gonna use it anyway.
Well, we ain't got the grammar police on here, so shout out to Q.
Use that.
What is that, Big Sexy?
Reactionary? How about that?
Thank you.
Welcome.
Then you would think. Now, I know, of course, he's not Batman yet, so he hasn't developed all of his stuff that he's going to have later on.
Just say he ain't got rid of that bitchness.
Yeah, bitch assness. I mean, again, I don't watch the show for him. I watch it for Penguin and for Fish.
And Falcone and Maroney, I like that as well.
Well, I'm kind of getting tired of that whole back and forth, and even that kind of plot is, Penguin's with this one, now he's with that one, he's backstabbing him, he's backstabbing him, it's getting tedious. They need to kind of, move on and give him something else, another plot or something else, because, again, it's getting a little bit tedious.
We didn't get a chance to discuss it, but a couple of weeks ago, Fish made her move on Falcone by having that the girl that he was seeing that he had a relationship with. And I was really shocked. I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure that the end game would be that girl would end up turning on Fish because she liked the lifestyle that Falcone was providing her. I did not see Falcone just going all Wayne Brady and choking the bitch out. I was like, okay. And it was great because even though Fish was using her to get to Falcone, she actually looked broken up by it. Like, damn, you didn't have to kill her. But there is some alarming news with regards to Gotham that apparently the ratings hit a season low for Monday. Now, we might be able to attribute that to what else that was on the television that day. As it had The Voice, and it had, I believe, Dancing with the Stars back? I know there was something else that came out that was on yesterday that affected the ratings. Now, I'm going to dismiss it because of the fact that Fox has already sold it to Netflix. I think it was it for $1 million, I believe?
Damn.
I mean, that was a big number, something.
Yeah, it was a big number. So in my opinion, fans have nothing to worry about for the rest of the season. Now, for next season, depending on how the ratings go, I think that it's definitely a lock to come back. And on top of that, since it does have that Batman tie-in and the fact that Fox's ratings overall are down, I think Gotham would definitely be back.
No, they've already renewed it.
They did?
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, how did
they? I think that and Empire are like the only shows that they've definitely have renewed that they say are coming back. I mean, nothing's been officially canceled, but those have definitely been picked
Red
up.
Red Band Society has been canceled, which I really like.
Oh, that sucked.
Isn't that on? That's well, that's on ABC.
I ain't got time to tell you where you're wrong on that.
You liked it because it's Glee in a hospital. That's why you like it.
Glee in a hospital.
All
right.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
Moving on. Sunday, before we get to the really big news, Sunday was the 2015 Grammy Awards, and I think most of us saw it. We saw the performances, we saw the winners. The big news, of course, was Kanye West doing what he does best and acting a fucking ass. See, this is why you can't bring Negro into polite society, because shit like this just keeps on happening. So, in case you missed it, they're doing the Album of the Year. Five nominees. There was Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran, Beyonce for her self-titled album, Beyonce. And I can't think what the fourth one was, but the fifth one was Beck for Morning Phrase, which won. Now, a couple of things. Once again, Twitter shows their total youth by apparently not knowing Beck, which I kind of give him a pass because Beck ain't had a hit since like, what, 98, 97. So.
Yeah.
And his biggest song was Loser, which was 93. So I give him a pass on that. But the other thing is that Beyonce being this huge cultural global entertainer, you know, people are just like, how the hell does she lose to that? And it's like, look, seriously. Oh, the other one was Pharrell for Girl. Sorry about that. So Kanye West, he goes up to the stage, and everybody thinks he's about to pull that same 2010 Taylor Swift interruption. And he makes a motion like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. And he goes back to his seat. And everybody thought, oh, that was the end of it. He was just, you know, mocking what had happened. He was just being doing a little funny, just being a little jokey joke. Until the E! After Party television show, where he just went off on the Academy saying that they need to respect artistry, that he was going to say that Beck should give up his award, but he has a wife, he has a daughter, he has a clothing line, and he didn't want to mess it all up. I guess, you know, somehow somebody told him, like, look, Negro, to be smart, don't fuck up your money. Although, I don't know why. He didn't keep it going because he just exposed himself.
I know why he stopped. Prince was gonna pop him with that cane.
Shit. Pimp cane, what's coming?
That's around me now.
He's like, I came out here specifically to get this man a Grammy. You gonna fuck up my shit?
Paya!
You can catch this fade. You don't know about that old man strength.
You know, I you know, it was funny because, of course, watching it on the West Coast, I had already heard that, you know, what it went down. So when it, you know, of course, what happened, it was really no surprise. But it's so funny to me that if you only read like headlines and news stories, every article that I've read and that I've seen all say the same thing. Kanye storms the stage. I'm like, no, come on.
He didn't storm no stage.
I mean, seriously, obviously, they worried about security or anything like that, you know, because obviously, I don't know where, I guess he was like in the, not in the front row, but pretty close up. So, I mean, he obviously just kind of just walked up there. Beck was like, hey, come back, you know. I think he was so awestruck with Prince, and then with that at the same time, poor guy didn't really know how to react. I thought it was really, you know, at least that aspect of it was much ado about nothing. Now, again, my favorite phrase, shut up, Kanye. Him talking later about, you know, all the artists and respect artists and all of that. Come on. Now, I haven't heard Beyonce's album. I have no interest in listening to it. But I haven't heard Beck's album either, but I do. I just got it yesterday, so I do plan on listening to it. I would probably guess that Beck's album is probably light years better than Beyonce's album. So to say that, you know, and we talked about this offline, you know, I don't know what his obsession is with Beyonce. Well, I guess maybe I know what his obsession is.
He needs his ass whipped.
But, you know, I just I've been defending Kanye online for the past 2 days, and a friend of mine she inboxed me because every time she would post something, I would post something, and she's okay, just leave it alone. I'm like, hey, you're posting on social media, I'm gonna respond. But I said, you know what, I'm Kanye'd out. I said, defending him has become a full-time job. I ain't got time for it. The only thing that really bothers me is when they say he's not talented. Now, I would argue that point. I think the guy does have talent, and I also concede and agree that he's an ass and he should shut the fuck up and just let the music speak for itself. I concede that point. But, you know, when I challenge people, I say, well, did you know he produced this? Did you know? Do you like Alicia Keys? Oh, I love Alicia Keys. How about You Don't Know My Name? You like that song? Oh, I love that song. Kanye produced that. Oh.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
You know, I say this, though. I understand what Kanye is trying to do, but to me, he comes off like a spoiled bitch boy. What I mean by that is, like, he's so used to having his way. And when you get to the point where you're at an awards presentation, you're on national TV, you know, he's talking about respecting the artists. He's up there with other artists. You know, this whole organization is about other artists. It's not an outside organization. It's closed in. You know, everyone's a part of the Academy, recognizing each other. For you to try and, like, disrespect your brethren in the game, you're really, to me, in my opinion, there's no respect for you in that. And I think what he's going to end up doing is blackballing himself from, you know, mm-hmm. the music community, where his legacy will not matter, and no one, they're not going to even give him any type of shine. He'll never be considered for nothing because of his attitude. I think he is extremely talented. But again, to me, he is no more talented than probably most of the people that's in that room. He's not Michael Jackson. He's not Prince. He's not Bruce Springsteen. He's not any of, you know what I mean? Like, his music is good, but he has
he's
no...
He's not Paul McCartney for damn sure.
Yeah, please. He's, you know, he's barely... He's not even Dr. Dre, in my opinion. Like, no, I mean, you know what I mean? He's just... He's talented, but you ain't all that. Your music isn't changing the world. Like, let's be very clear. You've had some hits, but nigga, you're not on the level of the Kings. And so if you were, I could at least understand your being in judgment of somebody. But you ain't nobody. Like, you're not doing nothing. You are taking, you're taking classic hits like most hip hop does, and you're remixing them and putting a little stamp on them. But let's be clear. You're not in the upper echelon. You can't stand next to James Brown, Sly Stone, Africa Bambaataa. You know what I'm saying? The list goes on. You ain't there yet, partner. And so for you to play yourself out, so another part of it is he's making it look crazy for the rest of African-American artists within the organization. They already don't want you to be on there anyway. Let's be clear. So when you do that, that just reinforces the stereotype of, see, this is why they don't have the Source Awards. This is why they don't. Because now they're bringing that drama to our show, yeah. Right? We ain't supposed to be having fights and people coming up, boom, you scare somebody, going bum rush. Here comes one of those crazy niggers, bum rush, you know, storming. To them, he is storming the stage. All right. And he breathing right into the stereotype. Like, oh, we can't have him up there because they don't know how to act. They'll be so mad that they don't get an award. They'll come up here and try to fight you.
Yep.
So he's breathing into that.
Does anyone find it interesting or, I don't know, odd maybe that they didn't televise any hip-hop awards at all?
They don't have to. They don't have that cross, that mainstream crossover star. They don't. I mean, I got...
Iggy Azalea? Is it she?
I haven't heard any of her stuff. I wouldn't call
her
name.
Iggy Azalea wasn't performing, and on top of that, there's just a lot of heat on her. It's not like it's universal love for Iggy. So, she performed,
and she'll never beat out Eminem, so... At the end of the day, if they got Eminem to nominate and her, they're always going to pick Eminem. Which, didn't he win for Best Rap Album or something?
Yes, he did, which, you know, it's amazing. Like, everybody tweeted that out, and it was headlines like, Iggy didn't win. Iggy didn't
win. She wasn't going to win.
I don't know.
She's popular, but they're not going. they won't even vote her over Eminem. They're like, okay, well, we have a diamond right here. There's no way we're going to recognize you, but we ain't even that crazy.
Look, man, they picked Macklemore last year.
But there was no Eminem last year?
Yeah, that's a good point. Fine, good point. That's what I'm
saying. did everybody see all the performances?
I didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't?
Well, hold up. I want to give my two cents on it.
My issue with
Kanye is that he was saying that stuff about respecting artists and artistry and the Grammy. And I saw the flip side of that where somebody wrote an article is that you're not paying attention. What he's really saying is that the Grammys are using black performers and black culture to sell this show so they can get their ratings. But then when they get these people there to perform, they're like, yeah, you can tap dance for us, but you can't, we're not going to acknowledge you with these awards. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of see that, but at the end of the day, I personally feel a Grammy does not help an artist sell any more additional albums. That's what I think.
That's not true. I look today, Beck's album has skyrocketed in sales. Sam Smith's album has skyrocketed in sales as well. So no, it helps.
I have to agree, because I remember when Herbie Hancock won for River of the Joni Letters, that spiked a huge sale on that album.
Well, you know, this wouldn't be the first time I pulled something out of my ass. So,
I mean, hell, I even just got Beck's album. I mean, because of the Grammys. I mean, and I'm a fan. I like Beck,
the side eye on that one.
What? Shit.
I guess I got to hear some of it.
But I'm musically diverse, brother.
But the thing is that he goes in and says all of that, and I got two things to say. One, dude, like Mike said, how are you going to talk all that? And how many original musical compositions have you created? You know, give me that answer. And two, you have a choice. You don't have to show up. I remember back, there's a famous picture that's floating around the internet of all of the best rap performance nominees at some party in the Hollywood Hills.
I remember that
went there, had this party, honored themselves, and said, fuck the Grammys, we ain't showing up since you're not going to televise our award category.
Yeah, that was like Fresh Prince and P.E. and I think Salt and Pepper.
Paris One. So it's like... If you want to don't make your statement there where they got you to perform, so they got their ratings, their money, and then you're gonna be like, just like you did with the MTV, man, you need to respect me. I'm doing all this, blah blah. You know, don't do all that when you just made the money. Don't show up. Do like what I just told the story to someone today. Very famous early 2000. Venus and Serena were at the Indian Wells tennis tournament, and they heard some people making some racist statements about them. They made a stink to the tournament organizers, and they kind of was just like, well, you know, give them lip service. So Venus and Serena was like, well, fuck it, we just ain't never coming back here. And to this day, they have yet to come back to Indian Wells. Who's hurt more, Venus and Serena or Indian Wells, that they ain't got them on the marquee?
Oh, definitely Indian Wells.
Yeah. And every year they keep saying, maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it.
I look at it like this. When Prince lost to U2 for Sign of the Times, did he go on TV crying about that? I mean, I could see him crying about it. I could understand, but, you know, I'm going to go back and do something better. Like, Kanye ain't even put, you know what I'm saying? Like, you haven't done the super album of all, you know, you haven't, where's your Sign of the Times? Where's your, you know what I mean? Like, at least have something where I could say, okay.
How much Dropout?
Yeah.
Well, I would argue. I would argue my beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy is a masterpiece.
Yeah, but that's one. That's just one.
Well, okay. But
you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, they still ain't. So what? LL Cool J had classic albums. I'm talking about somebody in the same genre that I could see if he wanted to complain, but you ain't even, you know what I mean? You ain't really no better than any other rapper that has minimal success and has produced other records. Like, you're not changing the game.
It's funny you mentioned LL. I got into a debate with a friend of mine, and they gave an Ant Poo answer. I said, well, LL, he calls himself the GOAT, the greatest of all time. You know, that's boasting, that's bragging, that's saying he's the best.
You got a catalog to back it up.
No, well, but no one seems to have a problem with that. And the answer was, well, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I hear what I was saying.
He was a pioneer. He was a pioneer.
And catalog backed that shit up.
But I'm just
saying.
Changed
the game when he came out in different times.
But the greatest of all time, come on.
In terms of rip and hip hop, I could arguably hear him say that.
Well, he does say that. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I can understand if he said it.
I'm not going to hate on LL saying that. He can be in the top ten.
He is not the greatest of all time. I mean, we did.
He is, but I'm saying in terms of rap, I could at least understand the argument for him to say it, or for somebody else to say that about him in terms of hip hop and rap.
But that's what I'm saying. Him saying it is what I'm saying, and. I just made the analogy that him calling himself the greatest of all time is nothing different than what Kanye does. He considers himself the greatest of all time, right?
I disagree, though. But I hear what you're saying.
That's what hip hop is. Hip hop is bragging. It's boasting. That's one of the foundations. That's what most of the songs are about. I'm the biggest. I'm the baddest. You know, step to me. I'll you know, wet you, whatever. You know, that's just, I won't say the foundation, but that's one of the things that hip hop artists do.
But you know the difference, though? I'm going to tell you the difference. Let me cut you off. The thing is, for real rappers and hip hoppers that do that, they actually will step to the ones that are dope. Kanye is going at whack ass people who aren't even in the same genre, and he's going after people that would be considered soft. Now, if he did this when Eminem went up there, or Jay-Z, or somebody who was at the top echelon of some shit that was real, then I could understand. I'd be like, he has my respect. Because that's what L. Cool J, when he went, people came for him, he shut people down.
I agree.
He went at people and shut people down on the same records. Now, Kanye is not. Even what's the Cannabis?
Cannabis.
You see what I'm saying? Like, he's actually went at strong contenders. You don't get any credit if you go after a country white girl singer. You know what I mean? That would be like him going at Iggy Azalea in a rap battle, which he wouldn't even do that. But the fact is, that wouldn't get you no points. You're not going to get any stripes for that, partner. You look like you go after the weak ones. So you look like a bitch. That's what I'm saying. It'd be different if he came at the real ones that was doing it. If he went at Kendrick Lamar or something, then I'd be like, okay, that's hip-hop. Yeah. But he doesn't do that. So that's why I don't give him no credit.
That's a good point. I could see that point.
Now, my other thing is that there was another famous barge the stage that got mad about a Grammy loss. Famously, I think it was 1998.
ODB.
That's right. R.I.P. ODB. We need some more ODBs in this world.
But see, no, we don't.
The thing of it is he didn't disrespect anyone. He said, he went up there and was like, look, man, I thought we was going to win. I went out and bought this suit. And, you know, we were a great band. I don't understand how we didn't win. But it's like he didn't say anything to diminish who won that year, which his name escapes me. So, he voices frustration, but he didn't disrespect anyone.
But no, he did not. No, he did not.
But God damn it, that was an awesome moment. And those white people look scared, too.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, the only thing I could say is, like, it'd be like, if you're going to disrespect somebody, you still got to shut it down. My greatest example to me, you know, when Ben KRS-One, you know, he had a problem with PM Dawn. You know, he went on the stage,
he wouldn't handle it.
Took the mic, shut him, pushed him off, and then shut down the show. And went, you know, did his thing. Like, that's the only part I could understand. If you're going to try and disrespect somebody, then you better be ready to drop in and put in the work so everyone claps your hands. You know what I mean? And you shut the place down. But if you ain't going to do that and you're just talking, nah, man,
Do you know the genesis of his beef with PM Dawn? Because I never put KRS-One as the type to just do that.
He had the beef with Shay.
Well, it was, I can't remember, I don't remember the specifics, but it was basically they were considering themselves rappers, which they're not rappers. I love PM Dawn. Let me just go on record and say that. I think their the Bliss album is one of the best just albums ever. I mean, not just hip hop. But I just think that he had a problem because they only had one quote unquote rap song on that album. It's called Plastic. And so I think that was kind of his beef, was that they were trying to portray themselves as hip hop, but they really were not. You know, they were kind of like a singing De La Soul. You know, it was the whole peace and love and doves.
Can't stand De La Soul.
Oh, you just hurt my heart.
Come on.
You just hurt. They're in my top five, Big Sexy.
They're in my bottom 2 billion.
Wow. Okay, we'll say that for Sacramento when I'm up when I'm up north.
Oh yeah, we'll figure it out at the end of the month.
I think that's where some of it came from. Now I don't know if there was specific things that were said, but that was the overall of that whole beef. And yeah, KRS-One did shut them down, but I'm still a fan.
But to get us back on point, let's finish up the Grammy talk. How disappointed were we with Orange Was the New Black? I mean, Prince.
Oh, hey.
I wasn't because, again, I guess because I'd seen all the tweets and whatnot. But we never knew what he was going to do. So
didn't he make something big was supposed to? Didn't he say something? He was going to do something big at the Grammys?
Yeah, the reports were that there would be a surprise.
But a surprise.
Reports. Where did those reports come from? Did they come from him or his people?
No. Well, it definitely didn't come from him. Because, you know, he ain't on Twitter no more.
Exactly.
I think it was an Entertainment Weekly story or something.
See, if it wasn't from Third Eye Girl or any of his people, hey, you know.
Now, I will say this, and I don't know how anybody else feels on this. I was deeply disappointed, and this kind of ties into the whole Prince thing, with the Stevie Wonder thing.
Oh, of yes.
All
I,
of the
I didn't
songs.
See that.
I didn't see it either.
Usher did.
Yeah,
if it's magic.
You blink, you missed it. Literally.
And if of all the songs in the Stevie Wonder catalog to do on that night, you pick If It's Magic to do.
Usher did that?
Yeah, Usher sang.
Oh God.
And Stevie Wonder literally, and it was a big. Even Jamie Foxx made fun of it. Stevie Wonder comes out at the tail end of the song. He plays for harmonica for literally 30 seconds. And that's it. And basically, it was a big commercial for next week. He's got a Songs of the Key of Life special going to be on, coincidentally, on CBS, I think, Monday. So that was the whole – that was the point of the performance.
That.
Oh, I'll definitely watch it. But that was the point of the performance. But I'm like –
yeah, because they pumped it up that there was going to be this big tribute. And I'm just looking like, that – seriously, you trying to tell me all the tributes out of the scene, and that's what you give us for Stevie Wonder?
And the show was already a downer, you know, pretty much. And I mean, I know they had already picked a song to sing, but seriously, of all the vast catalog that Stevie Wonder has, If It's Magic, really?
I can't stand Usher, and he didn't help himself with that one either.
I mean, he did the song justice, but.
However, I will say this. Usher did show look way better than AC/DC.
Well, come on now.
Dude, that
come
was
on now.
That was I could have I actually had to check my ears and check the speed of my DVR to see if it was running at half speed.
Okay,
that was the slowest rendition of Highway to Hell ever.
AC/DC is like 80, right? So I mean, they're not gonna not going to give you the full tilt performance. They're not like Prince. They're not performing, you know, every night. I was disappointed they didn't do You Shook Me All Night Long, but that's a whole different story. I thought it was a great opening. I like seeing
it. I like that new jam they got. Was it Rock or Bust?
I don't remember the title, but.
That's a nice one. But when they went into Highway to Hell, it's like, dude, you do realize that Highway to Hell is at a far greater tempo than the one song you just did. Speed that shit up.
I gotta watch that.
You have again. To, because you're just sitting there like, okay, why are they singing slow? Like, what's going on? But for me, the performance of the night, and people keep, I know we gonna get into this Big Sexy. The performance of the night was Pharrell.
No.
That rendition of Happy. Sorry, no. I loved it. And he took time to make a political statement by having the dancers behind him in the black hoodies put their hands up.
That did not help the performance.
I'm so tired of that hoodie shit.
I'm so tired of Happy. That song needs to go away and never. It is now in a.
Hold up. You do realize that was orchestrated by Hans Zimmer, right?
It doesn't matter. I'm tired of the song. It has now entered Hey Ya territory.
Oh.
Of a song that I never, ever, ever want to hear again. Hey Ya. As I live.
Uh-oh.
First of all, that song came out July 2013. At this point, I don't want to hear it again. It has outlived its shelf life by over a year. I don't even know how it's still getting nominated for stuff in 2015, because it's been out. It got its debut in freaking Despicable Me 2, which came out in July of 2013.
Kind of like Thriller. That lasted for a very long time. I'm not saying it's on the level, but I mean, it has longevity, whatever it's doing.
All I know is that Sean isn't very happy at the moment. So.
I'm tired of that song.
So
it's the friggin' Let It Go of
oh no! Bite your tongue, sir.
No, I put those two songs equally.
Any other sentiments about the Grammy, sir?
Oh, I got two more.
Go ahead.
Was Paul McCartney's microphone on during the Kanye performance?
It was good for me, wouldn't it, man?
I don't think so. And let's talk about the Let Us Say versus Beyonce controversy. What do you guys think about that?
What's the Legacy song? She should have sang the damn thing, man. Unless she was unable to do it.
What's the controversy? I don't even know what happened.
Well, you know, Beyonce sang Precious Lord, Take My Hand, which is what Legacy sang in Glory.
Said, Precious Lord, Take My Hand in a sheer dress, by the way.
You said in Glory?
Yeah, in Glory. She played Mahalia Jackson. Not Glory, I'm sorry. Selma.
Glory?
Yeah.
So they had Beyonce singing on the show?
Yeah, they had Beyonce singing. She sang that as an intro to Glory. That's why I got mixed up. She sang that as an intro to Common and John Legend. They didn't ask Let Us Say to do it. They asked Beyonce. We all know why.
Oh, ratings.
Yeah, that's why. But honestly, it should have been Let Us Say. She should have done it.
I didn't see it.
Any other opinion on that? Am I the only one that's out?
I'm fine with it. Beyonce went to John Legend and Common, and they were like cool, and everybody wanted it. It's like sucks for Let Us Say, but sorry, it is what it is.
This is the business. I gotta say, deliver. That was the other thing too. Now I think we've all seen Selma except for Big Sexy, right?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Now in the movie, in the film, she tore that song up. Do we agree on that?
Who tore? She tore which song up again?
Precious Lord.
Yeah, in the movie?
In the movie, yeah.
Oh, well, I ain't seen the movie. So
I thought you saw the movie. Well, I guess then Mr. Dean, do you agree that it up in the movie?
Apparently not. Moving right along, hit your other performances. I'm reading a clip now, or reading a piece now about Miranda Lambert, and her performance to me looked like she stole it from Kiss, and that's what the people on Rolling Stone say too. I mean, she did her thing, but I'm like, really? This is some Kiss stuff here, baby. Let's not think you're doing something new here.
I'm sorry, who was that again?
Miranda Lambert, country chick.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently they had to bleep out some obscenity too. I don't know what that was. Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, I didn't care enough to do the research.
Now, as for Prince, you know, didn't he present the album of the year last year too?
No, it was 2013, I believe it was. I believe it was Record of the Year or Song of the Year. I get those confused, but it was one for somebody I used to know.
And the thing is, they picked him because, you know, he proved it at the Golden Globes. People are like, why you get Prince? Because Prince put asses in the seats. he, just by that presentation, probably garnered a million more viewers. You got us.
That is true. That is true. Mr. Dean, are you back, sir?
Yes.
Any other thoughts to the Grammys?
Not me. Right. Well, can we add one thing? I don't know if you have it on your list, and it could be very fast, but did anybody see the trailer for Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah, yes. I don't know if you see my Facebook page, but I said, am I disrespectful to my legacy, the fact that I haven't seen Selma nor Get On Up, but I'm going to be at Straight Outta Compton day one?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been haggish.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see the movie. That trailer looked amazing.
Damn good. I guess now we know why they was out there in Compton in the first place. Cause I'm looking like, oh, yeah, because when they show Compton Boulevard, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where that's at.
Did you see the little clip where they had, like, the Suge lookalike beating somebody down?
In the studio?
I was just like,
wow.
Now you kind of know why they had that incident with Suge. I guess he was upset that they used him, his likeness, without his permission, I guess.
Oh, please. Yeah.
And now he's going to jail for the rest of
his life. Now he's
going
to go for the rest of his life, yeah.
he's killing his back. I mean, is it a murder charge or is it a manslaughter charge? Two different things.
I think it's a murder charge and another.
They're saying he intentionally ran over the dude because he ran over him twice.
Well, I think they ran over it twice. What they might be able to claim is backed up and then moved forward. So it's not like he ran over him, backed up, and then ran over him again or bust a Yui and hit him.
we have a legal guy on the panel here. Let's ask him. So
I think the word you're thinking of is lawyer.
I'm thinking legal guy. Really?
Hey, I'm the film guy. So,
well, come now. Come on now.
I'm not equating the two. Come on now. I bow to you. Let's use this scenario. Let's say Suge, you know, backs over the guy.
Okay.
Or backs up. He's backing up and he hits him. And knows he hits him. And rather than stopping and going, oh, you all right? He pulls the car forward and runs over him again.
Wait. So he backs up, hits the guy.
Right.
Right? So with, like, both sets of tires go over the guy.
Right.
And he sees the guy in front of him.
Right. Well, stopping at that point after he knows he's hit the guy, if he puts the car in drive and runs over him again, isn't that at that point murder?
Well, you have to show some sort of malice here, and I don't know what kind of malice they have. Now, you can say malice by
using talking about Suge Knight.
By the car.
Probably malice.
if there's some malice there, he's got to go. But, and again, I don't know all the facts, but if he, backed up over the cat, sees him, and goes forward and goes over again, yeah, they could probably charge that as a murder two attempt. Or he died, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, murder two. But they may bring it down to some mitigating factor to get a voluntary manslaughter, beef. We don't know. The facts have to come out.
Yeah. I mean, you can always plead to something else. I mean, I think he's going to lose some jail time regardless. Just no matter what he's
going to
do.
Oh, he's going to jail. He's going to jail.
And actually, I guess they denied his bond or bail.
I'm sorry. He's going back to jail.
So I don't think he'll even get out for the trial either. He's stayed the whole time.
But back to the Straight Outta Compton trailer. You know, first of all, I thought it was going to be a made-for-television movie, but it's getting a theatrical release.
No way to do that.
Real deal, man.
I thought it was going to be a made-for-television movie, but a theatrical
Lifetime presents Straight Outta Compton.
But it looked good, and considering some of the guys who were cast as those young characters, I'm like, God, they got Paul Giamatti, who, he's not a slouch actor either. So I'm
he's a good actor, but I'm like, it sounds like they're going to be playing too much of Jerry Heller in this thing too.
Yes.
Well, I would say this though: the guy who's playing, I guess it's his son, Ice Cube's son, playing Ice Cube in the movie. Man, from what I've seen in the trailer, he looks dead on, man, like his dad. That's the thing to me. I was like, damn, this dude, he's playing Ice Cube. Like, I really felt that. Did the curls look authentic?
Yeah, the curls look real.
I was like, damn, this might be the first movie where they had the curls down for real. They got that Compton curl.
That's a weave. You know, that's a weave.
Well, whatever it is, they got it looking hell. I was like, look at Easy tripping, boy.
Oh man, hey, number curl.
I wonder how far into their life do they go? Because I mean, we see the Suge Knight guy. Because I saw the Suge Knight with the baseball bat, which, you know, I'll go into the history. I actually worked for a law firm that defended Eazy-E's people against Suge Knight in that lawsuit. Because it was so less. Cause, mind you, I'm in my junior year of high school, and one of the lawyers calls me, and he's like, "Hey, Anthony, I want to talk to you about this case." And I'm like, really? okay. He's like, "Do you know who Suge Knight is and Eazy?" I'm like, yeah, what's up? Okay, well, you know this is confidential, but...
Of course.
He's like, this Suge Knight guy is a crazy motherfucker, isn't he? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm looking at the deposition. He took a baseball bat and beat the crap out of somebody. I was just like, oh, really? Okay. So they were defending him against Suge Knight in a lawsuit, which I guess he did a good enough job because Easy got money off of it. But I was just like crazy, like, goddamn, that's what happened?
Like, how did Suge get involved with the NWA people in the beginning? Did he just show up and bolt on his way in?
I guess we're about to find out.
Well, he was the first kind of like a bodyguard, and I guess he was working in the background doing security or something, and he ended up befriending Dre.
Oh.
And he was like, hey, man, you know, I got some people together. We're going to make a move. You want to break away from this? I can get you out of that situation. And, you know, let's do this thing. Let's start a partnership. It was Dre, DOC, and Suge Knight. It was supposed to be like the original starters of it, Death Row and all that whole thing. Because they got DOC out of his contract, too.
Man. Well, that's straight out of Compton, coming to a theater in August, I believe. Maybe head-to-head with the Fantastic Four.
And you know they're going to have them theaters locked down. It's going to be the 90s all over again. When Boys in the Hood and all them, they're going to leave the lights on. Don't turn them off. But the cop going to be inside the theater. Oh, boy.
I'm telling you right now, to avoid all of that, that thing is going to be on bootleg 2 months before the release. They're going to make sure the Negroes don't come to the theater. Nah, you ain't got to do that. We got a crystal clear Blu-ray with extra, the commentary, all. Give you a free CD with your bootleg copy.
It'll be real interesting to see where this plays in particular cities. And like, what theater is this playing? This, way out there.
This will be one time. I'm glad I got press access, boy.
Who's directing this?
F. Gary Gray.
So you think there's going to be a fallout if he doesn't get nominated?
I don't think so.
Well, real quick before we get to the meat and potatoes, but it's like there shouldn't be. Just like, why the fuck, I mentioned this to you offline, but why the fuck was there this big uproar about the whitewashing of the Oscars? Oscars so white, there isn't enough diversity despite the fact there's a Mexican man nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, when they end up in it. I can't believe I totally glossed over this or missed this, but the NAACP Image Awards, which is supposed to highlight people of color, specifically black persons of color, gave the Best Director Award not to Ava DuVernay for Selma, but to Antoine Fuqua for The Equalizer. So, the same
people... I thought Equalizer was better than Selma, though.
Well, I'm not going to say
that. Oh, glad Q wasn't here.
I mean, I like both movies, but Equalizer, shit, man.
Well, I mean, I was just saying the same type of people, the same organization complaining about diversity at the Oscars because this person didn't get nominated, Ava DuVernay, then snubbed her with a win. But they gave the film Best Picture. I was just like, I just had to laugh at myself, like, wait a minute, y'all didn't even, how the fuck does the NAACP Image Award not give her that award? Help me understand that.
Because it's not that good.
Well, there you go.
That's not. Sometimes it's not racism or any type of discrimination. Maybe it just ain't good enough. Damn.
But I was just thinking of the irony there. The irony was not lost to me. Like, okay, all of that hubbub, and she still didn't win. Okay. But now we get to the.
What? No, I was going to say, I'm still making my way through all of the. All the nominated films right now, but I think I've seen all of the Best Director nominated films, and I can honestly say she wasn't snubbed.
There it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. We all know that Whiplash shut it down. I'm going there.
Well, that's not who I would vote for. At least directing, I wouldn't vote for that. But I don't think she. I mean, I don't even think Clint Eastwood did a great job of directing. And we talked about this on the show when we reviewed Selma. I didn't think that her direction was all that. There were moments that, at least for me, that took me out of the film, and that's a sign of not being a good director and directing for directing's sake. I think Mike, you said like her trying to put her kind of own stamp on different things, and that's sorry.
Yeah, I was more a fan of the story and the actors, but the directing I didn't see was anything any different than any other normal movie. There was no like super dope camera view. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right, right.
It was by the numbers kind of movie.
Hey, right. The two scenes that took me out of it, and I can't remember the other one, but the scene where Oprah falls to the ground, and I'm assuming they had the camera mounted on her when she's falling, and it gives that kind of surreal look. I mean, I didn't find that all that interesting. I just said, this is a director directing.
You know, I'm sick of Oprah. She needs to stay off the fucking film screen.
I will co-sign you with you on that. I've taken heat on Twitter, probably from Black Twitter, which I didn't know existed at the time, about the whole me dogging her out for the butler, but that's a whole different
bullshit.
Oh, and by the way, I just looked it up. The director of Whiplash is not nominated for or directing on Whiplash. So,
wow, Best Picture is nominated for Best Picture, right?
Whiplash is up for Best Picture.
Yeah. Yes,
there's no way it's going to win Best Picture if the director didn't get nominated.
It will not win. But I'll say this as an exclusive: of all the films that I've seen thus far, if I were voting, that's the film that I would vote for, but it will not win. Birdman is going to win, but if I was a voting member...
Birdman is bullshit compared to Whiplash.
What did I just say? I'm agreeing with you. I just said if I were a voting member of the Academy, I'm voting for Whiplash, but I know it won't win. Birdman's going to win.
All right. And finally, we come to the biggest news of this young year. Last night, Marvel and Sony quietly put out a joint press release announcing Spider-Man's gone on home. The man's been a prisoner of war for about 13 years, and Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, they had made their way into the belly of the Hydra Sony beast and rescued Peter Parker. We think Peter Parker from the clutches of the evil Sony Empire, and they will be co-producing a new Spider-Man film in 2017 and moving forward find ways to integrate it into Marvel cinematic films. Quote, under the deal, the new Spider-Man film will first appear Spider-Man will first appear in a Marvel film from Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sony Pictures will thereafter release the next installment of its $4 billion Spider-Man franchise on July 18, 2017. In the film that would be co-produced by Kevin Feige and his expert team at Marvel and Amy Pascal, who oversaw the franchise launch for the studio 13 years ago. Together, they will collaborate on a new creative direction for the web slinger. Sony Pictures will continue to finance, distribute, own, and have final creative control of the Spider-Man films. Addendum: Marvel and Sony Pictures are exploring opportunities to integrate characters from the MCU into future Spider-Man films. Fellas, what the fuck does all this mean?
Oh, that's the same question I'm asking.
It means a win, finally a win for Sony, man. I mean, they're in a position now to really do something smart. Let Marvel do it. Let Marvel produce the movie. Make the money. I mean,
as long as they get their taste, it's about business.
Yeah, it's a great move for Sony. I think it was the best thing they could do after that whole debacle of the hacking and the interview. They also, either she stepped down or she was fired, the Amy Pascal. gave her her walking papers, and then you see this come out. I actually think that she's just on paper a producer. I don't think she'd have anything to do with it personally with these movies. They just probably put that on there to save her face a little bit. But I say to the Japanese owners of Sony, this was a great move. You know, they're going to make a lot of money off of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of saving face within this press release. Like, the one key thing that I was like, wait a minute, was that line about Sony Pictures will continue to finance, distribute, and keywords own and have final creative control. I'm looking like, okay, that's just there so people don't think that they're like, okay, we can't do shit right, let's give it to Marvel. That's what it's got in me. Because I just cannot see Marvel Studios and to that extent Disney letting another studio have final creative control.
Well, at the end of the day, they ain't getting that license back. So Sony's got a lot of power in this situation because they could, you know what? We'll just keep making crap movies. We're gonna still make money, and you ain't gonna never have your golden boy. And so they're both in a situation. You know, Disney's in a situation where the face of Marvel is Spider-Man. I don't care what nobody says to me. Like, every marketing thing they have, it's always gotta have Spider-Man on it, and they gotta have something to do with that. So, and they're not gonna get that license back, and they'll probably never get it back at this point, because why would Sony give it up? Now they're about to have a real cash cow. So why don't we just eat together? You know, the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they had to do.
All right, I'm gonna ask a very dumb and ignorant question here, so please forgive me in advance.
Wait, Sean, there are no dumb questions. Only dumb people that ask them.
Well, in this scenario, I plead guilty. I am completely ignorant and stupid and dumb when it comes to this. What does this move mean cinematically?
You know, I'm hearing this people are speculating, oh, man, they should get rid of Peter. No, I'll jump the shark here. Never mind. I withdraw that.
Well, I think what it could mean systematically is that we possibly will get a better produced Spider-Man movie on a general level. You know, if you look at the quality of most Marvel produced movies are very good versus the newer Spider-Man movies have not been as well. You'll also see Spider-Man now be a part of the Marvel movies. So he'll interact with Iron Man and, you know, Captain America and all these other characters. So you're going to see a melding of these movies all sort of work together.
Now, the reason...
one thing you definitely will see is you'll probably see the highest grossing film ever come July 28, 2017. I think the buzz of the first Marvel Studios produced Spider-Man is easily going to give you $3 billion. Easily worldwide. I don't see that. You know, $3 billion.
I think to a person like Sean, who doesn't understand, that doesn't know the impact, it could care less. It would be another Spider-Man movie. Now that I think, depending on how he is played in the particularly Captain America Civil War, that may pique people to like, whoa, I didn't know this was a part. I mean, it's going to be a new Spider-Man. It's going to be a part of this other stuff. I think that is going to pump up and be like, oh, these movies are actually going to be good, because he's still coming off of two sort of lukewarm, you know, response to Spider-Man movies that I like Andrew Garfield, but I understand why they got to get rid of him. But I think to the regular people, it's like, it's just another Spider-Man movie. But I don't know if they understand the ramifications of this until they see something.
Well, here's the question. Did they have to get rid of Andrew Garfield?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if they had to, but they did.
Yeah, they did. That's probably a smart move, just because you want to go in a new direction. Yeah, if you go in a new direction, yeah, clean slate. What I was going to say, though, is I want to kind of break it down cinematically. The first trilogy, I guess. Who was behind that? I mean, I know Sam Raimi, but what studio?
It's always Sony.
Okay, so now the first film wasn't that bad in my opinion. I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now the second film is highly regarded, not just by me, but a lot of critics, a lot of non-comic people. It's one of the best superhero movies of all time. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen that from a lot. I would agree with that. I think I even said it on our show one time. I think it was number four, number five. Of course, the third one total debacle, too many characters, too much, you know, too many villains, not focus,
right,
the whole emo Spider-Man. And then we came to the remake, which whatever year it came out, it was on my list of the worst films of the year because I had already seen that film previously. So to me, it was a repeat. It was only different beats, but it was essentially the same film with Tobey Maguire, only with a few minor changes. So I'm like, why is this film even being made? So I guess my question is in your guys' opinion, where is the mistakes that have been made in the past when you really only – I guess you've had, what, five films. Two of them have been good and three of them have been – one of them has been bad. Two of them have been okay.
Well, you know, I would say this. I think the earlier Spider-Man movies at certain points touched on showing us the real Spider-Man. And even that rebooted Spider-Man, which you said you hated, to me was sort of the first time I actually kind of saw, in certain parts of the movie, I saw the Spider-Man that I knew from the comic books in terms of the way he acted and things that he said. To me, it'd be like the Batman movies. There was a ton of Batman movies before we got Christopher Nolan movies.
Right.
Some of them were successful. Some of them were not so successful. But I think at a certain point, Nolan created a movie that sort of defined, this is Batman on screen, and people identify with that because it was done in a different way, and it showed a version of Batman that was really strong. I think what Marvel has the opportunity to do, which hopefully they'll get right because they seem to do it for the most part with their movies, is they're going to be able to show Spider-Man probably closer to how he's sort of envisioned from the comics. They've said that he's going to be back in high school, so he's going to be a younger Spider-Man they're going to start off with. And I think it's going to show the Gwen Spider-Man. Stacy. Say that again?
Better have Gwen Stacy then.
It might, but they definitely said they're going younger. And I think it would be an opportunity that Marvel, who knows that character, knows how to present these types of characters better. I think they're going to show us a very different Spider-Man than we've seen in these previous movies. Some of the similarities in the story will be there. But I think at the same point, too, because now they have opened the door for all these other heroes to be a part of his story, that's going to be a lot different. We haven't seen Spider-Man on screen with Captain or some of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or whoever. You know, they got all these characters they can choose from now. So they're going to draw from a larger story. And I think, you know, they said they're going to put him in Civil War. That's what Variety's actually just now saying now. So if they put him in a big blockbuster movie that's already going to be big, and that carries over into his own movie, and then he's going to be in Avengers 1 and 2, that's going to be different for people because all the people that are excited to watch all these Marvel movies already, they're going to be beating the door to watch this one too now because it's going to be a part of that storyline.
I just hope that we don't get another origin movie.
No.
Another Man of Steel.
Well, from the Sony hacks, they said that Marvel was not going to redo the origin story. And I think they don't have to because they showed it with The Incredible Hulk, which the first one was done by Universal, and Hulk, the Ang Lee one, was Universal. The second one was done by Marvel. They didn't give an origin. They briefly touched on it in the credits of, you know, the backstory, how he became the Hulk. And they moved on because at this point, Spider-Man is, what, 50 years old. 52 years old, I believe. People know what happened. He's this young kid, right, gets bit by a radioactive spider. We've seen the origin twice. You don't need
plus he's not going to be debuting his own movie, so that there's not going to do an origin story, right? If he's going to be in Captain America Civil War, they're not going to do an origin story. He is going to be Spider-Man.
And the one thing that I'm really excited about is you now have Spider-Man in the solely in the hands of a comic book company first, who are thinking of, who knows the source material, who respects the source material, who are not trying to find, okay, we need to put our take on Spider-Man. We need to get him grounded in the reality. We need to make all of this imaginary, fake comic booky stuff make sense to the movie going audience. Because Marvel's like, we're going to keep it simple, stupid. It is what it is.
They've already got a couple names apparently for the leads, possible leads. Not too familiar with these guys, Logan Lerman and Daniel O'Brien. Now, I know the one dude, I think, was the star of The Maze Runner. Yeah.
That's too much for me. I'm sorry. Somebody said Chandler Riggs, which I think he looks too... Who was Carl on The Walking Dead. I think he's too young to be Spider-Man. I want him to be Billy Batson. I mean, maybe he might grow up within the next 2 years, or in the next year, I should say, before they start filming. But right now, he looks too young to be Spider-Man, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess the other guy is a guy from the Percy Jackson movies. Interesting.
Well, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Twitter, sir, but one of the things that's... Well, before we get to that, one of the things is that because July 28th has now been earmarked for the Spider-Man film, it's pushed back three films. Thor, yep. Ragnarok has been moved to November. Black Panther, which... is there anybody... You saw that post I put up with the guy crying. Chadwick Boseman right now has got to be like one of the most pissed off or like saddest person right now. Cause, but I'm just saying, last September...
It's going to be a civil war.
Well, when they announced Black Panther, he's getting his own movie, he was like, he was the man. He was like, everybody was like, yeah, 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 because everybody assumed the role that Spider-Man was going to have in Civil War was now going to be Black Panther, so he was going to get this chance to shine, and that'd be Chadwick Boseman. Now they got Spider-Man. It's like, it's Black Panther who? Fuck that nigga. Let me get that good old boy back in there. So I'm like, he's got to be thinking that. And the other one is the Humans has been pushed back from, I believe, a May 2018 release to a November 2018 release.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean,
yeah, it's not going to affect much. I mean, it is what it is. We're getting Spider. But my thing is that did they really have to push that back? They really could have just given the Spider-Man, but I guess they need to take the time to get this done right. So
Well, the thing is, they don't want to see. This is the problem when you have Marvel being involved with all these characters, because they're not going to compete against themselves. So they're not going to throw these movies against each other. So they have to push it back, you know.
Yeah, they don't want the comic book saturation. Now they're just competing against Fox and DC since Sony's off the board. So that makes sense. However, one of the things that's been bandied about is that there's this internet buzz that's going on amongst comic book fans that says, we don't want Peter Parker.
Don't watch the fucking movie.
There's been some of the statements. There's been five Spider-Man movies, all about a white guy.
God.
We want Miles Morales. Matter of fact, hashtag make mine's Miles has been trending. Hashtag Donald Glover for Spider-Man. So there's this movement, one, for Miles Morales to be the new Spider-Man as opposed to Peter Parker, and two, if it's not Miles Morales, that Donald Glover should be the new Peter Parker. First of all, what do you think about this, in my opinion, asinine idea of replacing Peter Parker with Miles Morales in the MCU?
Stupid. Completely stupid.
I don't know who the other character is, but Donald Glover is way too short to be... I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. He's too short to be Spider-Man. he kind of comes from the Chris Pratt background, but I just think that he's too goofy, I think, to be taken seriously as the character. That's just my opinion.
But that would kind of work with Peter Parker, because one of the complaints lobbied against Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man was that he was too model-esque. He was too handsome to be Peter Parker, who was this nerdy geek. But my thing is that I think there's... My statements of all these people that are calling for Miles Morales is twofold. One, for me, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. I'm just going to say that. Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Just like for me, my Flash is Wally West, not Barry Allen.
Well, you're wrong there.
My Green Lantern is John Stewart, not Hal Jordan.
That I can give you. Yeah. That so, I'll give you.
And for, I would say, nearly half a billion people, maybe more, around the world, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. They have no idea. There's most of them have no idea who the fuck Miles Morales is. And that's not to discredit the character, not to discredit the writer that created him. But Miles Morales is 4 years old. Sony, and more importantly, Marvel would be out of their mind to reboot Spider-Man and get rid of the iconic character who is Spider-Man, which is Peter Parker. Am I off base on that?
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, when they integrate all of the universes in the Marvel Universe proper, and they're going to have two Spider-Man people running around, history has proven that will not work. That's not going to work. So Miles has got to go.
I'll say this. In the movies, I would love the balls of a Sony or Marvel if they said, you know what, we're going to do something different with this Spider-Man, and he ain't going to be Peter Parker. Now, I know they're not going to do that, but I would give them credit if they was like, they didn't have five movies of this other Spider-Man. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going with this. I could see that. I mean, I know they won't do it, but I wouldn't be mad if they did it. At the same point, I'm not mad if they just continue on with Peter Parker either. But that would be dope to me if they had a Miles Morales and he was the new Spider-Man for these movies. Would most people know Peter Parker? Yeah. Would most people have a problem if they had a different Spider-Man in these Marvel movies? No, I don't think they would, because, again, these people are already so gung-ho to watch these Marvel movies anyway. You put Spider-Man in Civil War, Captain America, anyone in that movie, in my opinion, is going to be a star, and people are going to want to see the movies that have them in it. Same as Black Panther. Same as they did Spider-Man. I don't think any of the regular movie fans would bat an eye. They would be like, this is amazing. This is different. Wow, Marvel was on some shit. I don't think most people would care. I think comic book fans, so some of them may, but then again, some of them want to see Miles Morales. So I could see it going both ways, personally.
Miles doesn't have enough backstory to warrant this. He's only been around 4 years. So if you did put him out there, then you're going to have the same issue of letting the movie dictate to the comics again, which is a problem.
Well, this would be actually the comics dictating to the movies, because, you know, this has been Peter Parker. But my thing is that Peter Parker is so iconic as Superman, as Spider-Man, and people have been making the case of, well, there's been a different Batman, there's been a different Green Lantern, there's been a different Flash. Well, you know what? It'd be a cold day in hell before they replace Bruce Wayne as Batman on the films. Let's just be honest with that. People are not for them,
but there's no precedent for it. If it was a precedent in the comic books, you could make the argument that there would be there are other Batman, but there's no other Bruce Wayne's. But I mean, at least there's a precedent with these books to say they killed Peter Parker and they have a new Spider-Man.
That's true, but for the majority, but the readers that are calling for Miles Morales, the current comic book readership is at best 700,000, I'd say, at best.
Right.
And maybe half, if less than half of them, are calling for Miles Morales. You really gonna let 350,000 comic readers dictate a potential $1 billion franchise?
Well, I don't think you would let them dictate anything. But again, I think that the average moviegoer who is not familiar with Miles Morales and is probably, like Sean said, well, what are you really going to show me new that I ain't seen these other five other movies? I don't care about. I have no loyalty to this character because I ain't going to these movies anyway. If they was to show him something different, I don't think they would complain, because at least it would be saying, this is different than those other movies. And I think that's the only thing they're really worried about. They're not worried about how it translated from the book in terms of the longevity. They're worried about, how do we make this sixth movie better than those five? And different, because the last three were failures in terms of how people viewed them. So they don't want to do this. I would imagine they would not want to do the same thing. Because why would a person go watch this if it's the same stuff?
And I would definitely disagree with that number of 350,000. I was looking at the top sales from last month. Only three books went over six figures in sales. You know, and the number one book was Star Wars. It sold a million something. Batman.
That's Star Wars fans.
Exactly. Batman sold 107,000. And, you know, after that, there was another book. I forgot what it was. No, The New Avengers book. sold over 100,000, which surprised the hell out of me. And after that, it just went down into the double figures. Down, down, down.
Wow. So, well, see, I think that comic book readers don't all buy the same books anymore, too. I mean,
No.
There's a lot of books. Avengers. Some people are just only buying Walking Dead or just buying, what's that other, Saga or something. You know what I mean? So there's some.
Saga doesn't sell that well, which surprised me. Walking Dead still sells well, but in the top 100, there were two Image books. It was Walking Dead and something else, but not Saga.
Are you talking like the single issues or trades?
Yeah, single issue.
Okay. Now, trades, what I'm saying, there's so much different variety in what a person could buy. Some people say, I may never buy a single, I'm just going to buy the trade. But they're still a comic book buyer, right? So that thing is so splintered now. It's hard to gauge it.
Well, we, as Sean likes to say, we'll wait and see.
We'll
pan out. But I'm excited. I think one of the things you mentioned is what can I do differently? I think the draw for Spider-Man 6 is going to be the fact that it's going to be a continuation of Civil War. It's going to be a continuation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's going to be Spider-Man. We're going to see him put into the Marvel Cinematic Universe more than likely with Civil War. And now it's going to be the first full Marvel Cinematic Universe story of Spider-Man. I think Marvel is going to do a good enough job to let you know that this is a whole new take. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Spider-Man. This is why you should go see it. But hopefully, and I'm sorry, I'm not saying that I'm a purist, but like I said, my Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And as I was getting into this battle on Twitter, they didn't tell every Peter Parker story. There are some stories still out there. They have the clone saga they can go with. I'm talking about the original clone saga. Not the one from the 90s. Although, maybe somebody got a good way of bringing that onto their films. There's Carnage.
There's who?
Carnage. Carnage.
Would you like some wine with that? With your Carnage?
No, but I prefer some chocolate. Preferably 70% French. Anyway. There's the right Venom story. There's the Hobgoblin. There's the Sinister Six.
Yes.
So they haven't told all the story. But, and then that's just in the 616. There's still the ultimate universe stories that they haven't even mined yet. So I think Marvel has a way of making this seem fresh and new.
And I think too, these Marvel movies seem to be turning more into Marvel movies than they are that character's movie. Like Captain America movie just sounds like another Avengers. It sounds like a Marvel team up movie or something. Like the star
to cut that check for Downey.
Well, true, but I'm just saying. Now you're gonna have Spider-Man in it. You got Black Panther in it. You got Iron Man in it. You got Captain America. Scarlett Johansson. You got all these characters in this movie, so it's gone beyond just being a Captain America movie. It is going to be a Marvel movie, and I think going forward that could be an easy win for them, because then they said that they're going to pull MCU characters into Spider-Man movies. So imagine the trailer for Spider-Man is Spider-Man, and he's going to have the Hulk or any of these characters can just jump in this movie with them. That's going to make people want to see it off the gate, and it ties in to the overarching story with Thanos and, you know, what's about to happen to Avengers Infinity 1. He may be one of the new Avengers at the end. You never know. They could play some shit at the new Avengers movie. They could film something and say, fuck it. Show Cap, look at him or call him up and say, we need you or something. I mean, so they got a lot they can do with this.
Well, two more things. There's actually a video interview of everybody's favorite and yours and mine, Hugh Jackman, discussing the big news of Spider-Man coming to the MCU and him saying that he would actually like to bring Wolverine to the MCU.
I'm sure he would.
Do you think that Fox and Marvel can make that deal?
Well, any deal can be done, but I don't know if they have. Do they feel like they have to at this point?
Fox will want more than what Sony got, I'll tell you that.
Well, just
Fox's movies are successful. I don't see why they would have any incentive unless they were to say, like, well, we want to pull some of your characters into our stuff so we can make our money bigger. But I don't see what the incentive would be for them to do it.
Well, they'd have to wait to see how the Inhumans do. Maybe they could bring a crossover FF versus the Inhumans.
No, they're gonna need to reboot FF again. Tell you that now.
But there's more incentive for Marvel to want Wolverine and the FF universe than Fox to want to go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, they ain't gonna give up their license, so they can why share the money.
That is a good point. The other thing is that we're thinking too big as far as the characters that come into Spider-Man film. Because I'm just looking, I'm like, Tony Stark, I know Tony Stark and Peter have been involved with each other, but I'm like, is it too early to bring them in? And
then
I'm looking at Captain America, I'm like, nah, that doesn't work. Hulk definitely doesn't work. Maybe Black Widow, but again, if this is a 14-year-old Peter Parker, I don't see how that would work. And I'm thinking, well, again, maybe we're thinking too big. Maybe it's not those guys. Maybe it's the Netflix heroes. Maybe it's Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Iron Fist.
No.
Can we see Spider-Man and his amazing friends?
Oh, God.
I don't know, man. Like I said.
Crap. It's crap.
He's going to be in the next movie with all those characters. So I don't know why he wouldn't be in his movie with at least one of them. And again, Sony is probably saying, I don't want these Netflix characters, nigga. I want, you know, we need top draw. We're not making TV movies here. That next Spider-Man movie has to be ridiculously big. So they're going to pull everything out of their ass. And
so who do you think has more pressure right now? J.J. Abrams for Star Wars? Or the director that gets the first MCU Spider-Man?
Oh, please, J.J. Abrams.
I think it's going to be good, but I think that's more pressure on that than anything Marvel's doing.
And those Star Wars cats will come for you. I'm telling you, man. If he pulls out some Star Trek shit like this, they will come and see him.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, fellas. Any other statements on this?
On this topic, no. I think I'm done.
All right, you've been listening to Geek.
Oh, wait, whoa! Whoop.
Oh, that's right.
Flag on the play. As with last time, one of our podcast brethren has come up with yet another list on 411 Mania, and we're calling this one the top 8 couples in comics, and I'm calling this list bullshit.
Here we go. You know, do I come up to the courthouse and kick the briefcase out your hand?
Kick my Halliburton, boy, I will knock. Anyway. Looking at just missing the cut here, Black Panther, and this is honorable mention, so Black Panther and Storm, I'm okay with that. Kitty Pryde and Colossus, I'm okay with that. Johnny Storm and Alicia, what the fuck? Really? They shouldn't be on this list. Ben and Alicia should be on the list. But Johnny Storm and Alicia, and it wasn't even Alicia, it was a goddamn Skrull. So get out of here. Mystique and Destiny. Now, that was interesting.
Give me that one.
I didn't know if they had a little something going on, but hey, whatever. It's cool. But then you go for the pandering North Star and Kyle. Really? Name 3 issues that Kyle's been in. Thank you. We're done here.
Exactly. It had a cultural significance.
No, It didn't have cultural significance. It had pandering significance because they're not the first gay couple. Yeah. And you didn't even put in Apollo and Midnighter.
Because nobody cared.
They cared more about them than North Star and Kyle. Who the fuck is Kyle? Anyway.
That's his boo. What do you want me to do? I didn't name him.
Oh, that's his boo. Okay. Then you go Superman and Lois Lane.
Isn't that Bay now? Isn't that the program?
Boo. That word.
Vision of Scarlet Witch and Superman and Lois Lane. I'm good with those. I can see why they would be in your top 8, but I can also see why they'd be in the honorable mention.
You've been down into the comment section, you see I've been getting reamed about Superman and Lois Lane not being in the top 8.
You have not been reamed yet. Oh, it's coming. Number 8, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. I'm okay with that at number 8 because it was something new. It started off as a booty call and developed into a happy, loving relationship. Yeah. I'm okay with that. The Joker and Harley Quinn, clearly the author of this piece watched too much Bruce Timm animated series Batman, because that's where this comes from. Tell me I'm wrong. Thank you. Moving right along here. Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon.
Yes. No, don't even go there.
Whoa. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Now, I prefer Dick Grayson with Starfire, but I can see where you're going with Barbara Gordon. Now, that's okay. That's okay. Same thing with Black Canary and Green.
Hold up. Just I just want to let you know, Birds of Prey number 8 was one of the most sought-after books in the late 90s. So
I still have it. Oh, yes.
I still ain't got that. That thing was like $60 at one point.
Oh, man. Open your checkbook, man. Damn. Black Canary and Green Arrow, timeless couple. On again, off again, on again, off again. They're fantastic. He's so flawed, and she puts up with his shit for a certain point that she's got to go. Then she comes back and takes him back, so that's a compelling couple. Glenn and Maggie, Walking Dead, number 4. I'm not seeing that. But they're a compelling couple in this whole new paradigm of zombification of our sci-fi stuff. Yeah, okay, fine. Then we get
Did you read what I wrote about them?
Whoa. Peter Parker, Mary Jane. Wrong.
You really?
Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy. Now, Mary Jane's got longevity. I'll give you that. But Peter Parker's true love is, was, and always will be Gwen Stacy.
But he married Mary Jane.
He married Mary Jane because Gwen Stacy's dead. Died of his
life. Right, but she's still a big part of the lore of Peter Parker. I think
he's a big part. I think she is too, but I think Gwen Stacy's a bigger part. There it is.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree.
Peter
and Mary Jane. It's Peter and Mary Jane.
Gwen.
Everybody respects Peter and Gwen, but it's Peter and Mary Jane. First of all, she knew he was Spider-Man, and she accepted it. He could be himself. You read what I want. And on top of that, it's like, come on. You need that down-ass chicken. That was what Mary Jane
was. No, you do. You do need that. You do need that. Which brings us
to Gwen was a little needy. Gwen was a little needy.
Hey, plus Mary Jane has her own theme song.
She does.
This guy. Number 2, Cyclops and Jean Grey. I'm okay with that.
Some people have said it should have been Cyclops and Emma Frost.
No.
Really?
And number 1, Archie, Betty, and Veronica. Where the hell are Reed and Sue Richards?
I'm sorry, Big Sexy. I find them boring.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm just keeping it. You want me to keep it 100? I'm keeping 100. I find Reed and Sue boring.
All right. I got to jump off. One of my football players is calling me. I'm going to kill you Saturday. All right.
Damn, that's on tape.
Did I say kill? Kill him with kindness. Kill him with kindness.
All right, man.
Later, Big Sexy.
All right, fellas.
Wow, and no Peppermint Patty and Lucy? I mean, you went.
Well,
with...
they weren't comic books. Those were more comic strips. There's a little and different there.
That was a joke that fell flat, but anyway.
I thought you were serious. Well, we're going to wrap up this edition of Geeked Out, and we like to do around this time. We'll go around the room and let you know where you can find all of us online in the interwebs. First up, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, also Facebook, Sean Hill, and Real Movie Talk, and the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. I am updating that thing frequently. I've got the trailer for Fast 7, the trailer for Straight Outta Compton, and also clips and the trailer for 50 Shades of Grey. So go check those out if you want to see. And the next review up will be 50 Shades of Grey, written by myself and my lovely wife. It'll be up on Friday.
Look, I'm just you missed it, Michael Dean, but we had to give him the riot act about bringing his wife to 50 Shades of Grey. Like, you know, come on, man.
I have a plus one. What do you want me
to do? Yeah, I threw that away, but that's me. Anyway, moving on to Mr. Michael Dean, working like a job. Where can they find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter. At M. Dean, of course, Podcast Juice on Facebook. Yeah.
And I'm your filling host, Ant Pooh, Anthony.
Doing a good job.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Aunt Pooh. And as Mr. Big Sexy decided to excoriate me for, you'll see some of my writings at 401mania.com, as well as knockoutnation.com and allhiphop.com, where I do a regular wrestling column. And as we like
let's also shout out Q Storm, our brother. He's asleep. Past the bedtime.
Nah, he ain't sleep. I see him on Facebook putting up stuff, going at it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. I'm snitching.
Well, I take back the shout out. Is that possible? Can I revoke a shout out?
Nah, it's all love. I'm just like, I see him going, arguing and stuff. He up there calling me out on Facebook, and I'm looking like, dude, why you can't do it on the show?
Yeah,
why can't do it on the show. Anyway. And also, we encourage, you know, we have this working like a job, a drive to 7,000. We encourage you, we implore you, please dig deep down within your soul, within the crevices of your pockets, and donate to our Indiegogo campaign. And you can find that at Mr. Dean.
You can find the link on the bottom of our this actual show.
See, that's that tag team right there. I tagged him in. Hot tag. I'm Robert Gibson. He Ricky Morton. Wrestling fans, y'all get that.
Okay.
And thank you again for joining us. We are out.
Peace.